amen and amen. Just remain standing. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. A text that has become quite familiar to us in the last little bit. I've been preaching through this verse by verse, and preached a message a few weeks ago from the same text that I'm going to be using today with a different thought, and hope that it will be a blessing. Hope we'll pray for revival. Amen. And not just because the meeting's on us, we need it whether or not it's in this meeting. Matter of fact, if it doesn't come during this meeting, I hope we'll still be praying for revival to come. Amen. It doesn't have to come on a Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. God could send revival on a Sunday morning if He wanted to. Or on a Wednesday night. Amen. He could send revival whenever He wants to, but let's pray towards it. I don't believe that God would just say, well, you know what I'll do? I think I'll just surprise them. Nobody there wants it. Nobody there is asking for it. I believe I'll just dump out a load of revival and surprise everybody. And I don't think that's how it happens. I think that you have not because you ask not. A lot of cases. Amen. And I believe that if we, He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they, not the ones that wasn't hungering and thirsting, but the ones that are hungering and thirsting, they shall be filled. Amen. And so I pray God stir in us a hunger for revival. Amen. And see Him do great and mighty things. By the way, the meeting we were in this week was a great meeting. I was concerned as to how things would be, but it was better than I expected. And that's not, I'm not a slight or slam in any way, but it was wonderful. It was just a wonderful meeting. I'm glad for it. And glad to see the Lord moving in that direction. I pray that He'll continue to bless that and use that as well. And I said already this morning, I want to say it again, I appreciate Brother Hall filling in for us on Wednesday night. And I understand he preached without his glasses and could see the sweat on your foreheads. Amen. I'm kidding. I don't know if he saw that or not. But he was able to preach and do so without his glasses, and that's a blessing. Amen. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 12 is where we'll take our text this morning. As I said, familiar. We've read it, preached on it, studied it, looked at it. But I want to deal with it this morning with this thought. I want to preach on personal steps towards revival. Personal steps towards revival. Verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. So Paul's saying, I'm not where I need to be. I need revival. That's what revival is, getting where we need to be. All right, verse 12 again. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's reading verse 12 through 14. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless the reading and help in the message. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. These verses, I preached on them a few weeks back. I titled it, Getting Past Your Past. And then, as I said, on Wednesday night, we've been studying these verse by verse and looked through as Paul's personal testimony of dedication and consecration unto the Lord. But today I want to deal with it not from Paul's perspective, but from your perspective, my perspective, our personal dedication, our personal consecration. And so I've called it personal steps toward revival. Now, I'll say at the onset of my message that I am intrinsically aware of the fact that man or mankind cannot produce revival. We cannot induce a genuine revival of religion or spirituality. Amen. One of the problems, I believe, with modern religion is that they think, or it seems to be, that we seem to believe that we can manufacture revival. That if we just sing the right songs, if we just say the right words, if we just advertise enough, if we, whatever the case is, that we seem to believe that we can manufacture revival. There was a day when God's people fully understood that revival did not come from man, but that it came from God. And that caused them to repent toward God and to pray toward heaven, amen, that God might move and awaken something within ourselves, or even that He might stir among our neighbors in some spiritual sort. Amen. And I believe that's what we've got to get back to be honest with you. I think we've got to get back not just the excitement of the emotion, but a real stirring of the spirit in the soul of man. Amen. And not that emotions are bad. They're wonderful. And we need, matter of fact, I believe when our soul gets stirred correctly, our emotions will be stirred. Amen. David said, then will I'll sing that new song. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. Amen. Once you've restored unto me the joy of thy salvation, then I can sing again. Then I can rejoice in the Lord and can see you do great and mighty things. And so we need that in the day in which we live. But I was talking about there came a time when it seemed like that men believed that they could manufacture revival. There arose a generation of quote-unquote professional revivalists. Right. Amen. They believed and taught that revival could be generated, or revival could be worked up by the actions of men. This produced a culture of planned meetings. Amen. That announced at the outset that they were going to have revival. They announced that. Amen. I want revival, and we may call this revival meeting. I'm praying for revival. Amen. I want revival and believe we can have it. There's another argument. Some people believe that it's just simple. Man, just do the right thing. Others believe that revival is impossible. Both of them are wrong. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. And so we see that He answered both those questions. Without Him, you can't do it. But with Him, it can be done. Amen. And so I'm glad that is true. But these scheduled meetings that announced at the outset they're going to have revival, this campaign or this crusade or whatever that they might have wanted to call it, many times dealt only with emotions. They were very shallow. They dealt with decisions that would not and could not last. Amen. And I'm afraid that we have come to see that and perhaps even expect that sometimes. I believe that real revival is purely in the spiritual realm. I believe that real revival deals with a spiritual aspect that relies solely, entirely upon God and His movements. Amen. Most of us here have heard of great revivals in the past. For example, most of us have probably heard the tape, Duncan Campbell and the revival at Lewis, and we've heard him tell about that great move of God that was done there on the Isle of Lewis. That was prayed down. That was not pumped up or primed. That was prayed down, and God did the unexpected. And He can do the same right here, even this week or even today at the Island Ford Baptist Church. I do believe that. Amen. And I pray that He will. Matter of fact, I was thinking about just reminding the Isle of Lewis made me think about A.W. Pink. And three great Baptist preachers have been known for their writings that have passed away. One this week. A.W. Pink died, I think it was 1950. He preached and pastored right here in Kentucky one time. John Phillips passed away, I believe it was about 2010. And I think he was about 80-some years old, I forgot. And was from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And then Warren Wiersbe. And I don't think either of those last two are on the same level as A.W. Pink. As a matter of fact, it seems like newer things are hard to compare to the old things. Amen. But Warren Wiersbe, passed away, I think Thursday maybe. Pastored in Covington, Kentucky back in the 70s maybe or 80s. And so thank God. Amen. Thank God for the writings and the life of these men. But just because these men are passing away or we see a generation, great men. I think about the preachers on our radio station. A lot of the great sermons that we hear on the radio station are from preachers no longer living. But God's still alive. I'm glad revival's not brought by the preacher. Amen. I believe we're going to have a great preacher. I believe Brother Plymouth is a great man. Matter of fact, Brother Wayne Henderson sends me a text just about every week saying that he's praying for me. Sent one yesterday. Said that he prayed that God would really meet with us this week. And I text back and said, thank you. We've got revival meeting scheduled with Brother Jeff Plemons. And he texts back and said, good man. That's all he said. Just good man. And I do believe he's a good man. But he won't bring revival in his pocket. Right. Amen. Revival, if it comes, will come from people praying down. I'd pray that it happened this morning. Amen. Or even tonight. Amen. Or any time when God sees fit. But I'm saying there's a spiritual move. I believe that it is God that prompts men, women, boys, and girls to seek after God, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for revival. I believe it is God's Spirit that prompts people to recognize the spiritual dearth in themselves, not just around them. By the way, what I'm going to preach, I'm not going to talk about how bad the world is and why we need revival. I'm talking about how dead we are. Amen. How dry we are and need revival. Amen. I believe it is God that prompts men to recognize the spiritual dearth in their own heart, that put a desire in the hearts of His people to begin calling on God and pray for deliverance. Amen. I believe that it is God that produces the desire in the hearts of His people to see Him move in power as He has in the past. Amen. By the way, let me say this about our text. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, there are some things you need to forget, there are some things you don't need to forget. Amen. Paul's not saying forget about how God has moved in the past, but what he is saying is quit thinking that's where it's got to stay. God, our best days don't have to be behind us. We can have good days ahead of us. We can have good days even now. Amen. That's what he's saying. And I believe that's correct. Thank God for the blessings of the past. And don't belittle that. Remind yourself of that. And just like God has done it in the past, He can do it again. Amen. That's why that He wants to remind us of it. Amen. That He did it in the past. Brother Ben, you remember his last name, Joshua? Myers? There's a fellow preacher in Kansas there, Ben Myers. And actually, he's in a church in Nebraska now. And he's not a pastor, he's a young man. But anyway, Brother Ben's got dwarfism, and he's a little fella. I've heard him preach a couple times now, and both times, bless my soul, amen. That he preached under the tent one day. They set up a tent for the meals, and I guess it was Thursday afternoon, they had singing under the tent, and just a few minutes of preaching. He preached under the tent about the widow woman and Elijah going and God putting meal in her barrel and oil in her cruse. And he used it in a way I'd never seen it, never thought about it. He said he didn't believe God filled that barrel. I don't either. And I've heard people say she just scooped it, you know, it's just enough. He said he believed that she turned that barrel up, she picked that barrel up, and she dumped it out, and she beat the bottom to get just enough for one more cake. And he ate that cake. And the next day, she picked it up. You know, I believe there's enough in there for another one. And beat the bottom and got just enough out for one more cake. Amen. Listen, a lot of times God does that. Do you know why He does it? Why He don't fill us to overflowing all the time? Because He wants us to remember He supplied yesterday. He has supplied in the past. He can supply today. And He can supply tomorrow. Amen. Don't take Him for granted. Keep seeking Him. Keep beating the bottom of the barrel. Amen. Keep looking to God for help. That's what we have to do. Amen. Now, having said that, I believe we need to pray for God to move His mighty arm again. Amen. Amen. I got to thinking about that, so I looked up some verses on the mighty arm of God. I think it's recorded in your King James Bible about 62 times. And I've listed some of them. I'm going to read them to you. I'm not going to have you turn because I've got a bunch. I'm not going to tell you how many. It'll scare you. I'm not going to read all 62. I'll leave off one or two. All right? Exodus chapter number 6 and verse number 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Amen. That was a promise God gave Moses. Moses told the people of God, God's going to move His arm and He's going to bring us out in deliverance. After it had happened, Deuteronomy 5:15 says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm, or stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So He's given them the commandments, and He says, this is why, because remember what God did for you with that outstretched arm. Amen. Deuteronomy 26:8, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 42. He's praying about the dedication of the temple. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Amen. 2 Kings 17, verse 36. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a stretched out arm, Him shall you fear and Him shall you worship, and to Him shall you do sacrifice. Amen. I'm glad we've got a God that's not a feeble God. Amen. We're not a God with His arms crossed sitting on His fat belly. Amen. We got a God with an outstretched arm. We've got a God with a mighty hand. Amen. 2 Chronicles 6:32, again, Solomon talking about the dedication of the temple. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house. I'm glad strangers can trust in the mighty hand of God. Job chapter 40, verse number 9. Hast thou an arm like God? Check it out. Is your arm like God's arm? That's what he's saying. No. We don't have an arm like God. Or canst thou thunder with a voice like Him? Amen. Psalm 44, verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them. Amen. Psalm 77, 15. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. God did it with His own arm. That's what He said. Psalm 89:10. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Psalm 98:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Amen. Isaiah 30. Verse 30, and the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of His arm, with the indignation of His anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. Isaiah 33, verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us, for we have waited for Thee. Be Thou their arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble. Praise God. He said, we're trusting in Your arm, not our own arm. We're not leaning in the arm of flesh, because it'll fail you. Amen. We're leaning on His arm. Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Amen. Isaiah 50, verse 5, My righteousness is near, My salvation is gone forth, and Mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon Me, and on Mine arm shall they trust. Amen. Isaiah 51, verse 9, Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it? That hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon. Amen. I pray God wound the dragon again this week. Amen. Listen, that's what prayer for revival is saying, as Isaiah said, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Amen. We're asking God to move one more time in our midst. Amen. Isaiah 52 verse 10. The Lord, oh, I like this verse. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm. He's rolled up His sleeves. That's what He's talking about. Amen. He's digging in here. He's getting active. He says, The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Amen. Oh, I like that. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 and 34. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Amen. One last one. This is New Testament. By the way, most of these texts about the arm of God are in the Old Testament. That's because revival is an Old Testament principle. Not meaning that it's not for the New Testament, just like tithing was in the Old Testament. Amen. But it's still in the New Testament principle. Amen. Personally, and I've heard the argument, some people say, you know, revival's not in the New Testament. Well, because the New Testament was written when the church was in revival. Amen. But I believe revival is in that. I believe you can see every time when God said repent, when God said return, all that's what revival is. Amen. It's getting right with God and getting back to where you ought to be and all the time serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. But here's the New Testament one in Luke chapter 1 verse 51. Mary is given that great magnificent, that great prayer, praise unto God for His great actions. Here's what she said in verse 51. She said, He hath showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Amen. She's talking about God placing that baby in her womb. And she said that great thing that He's done is He's shown His mighty power, the strength of His arm, and He's scattering the proud in the imagination of their heart. Amen. Now say this, we can see from these texts that God has a mighty strong arm. Amen. God can do great things. Amen. The arm of God can defeat the enemy. The arm of God can deliver the captive. Amen. Praise God. The arm of God can deliver the needy. Whatever you need, God's got the means of meeting that need with His mighty arm. Amen. Amen. And with this knowledge, reading those verses, I don't know what it does for you. I know what it does for me. I know what it should do. It should stir us to see God make bare His mighty arm one more time. To see God do great and mighty things. Amen. Amen. Cause God to move in power again. I want to remind you, He has not lost any of His power. Amen. We have lost His power. Amen. I'll say that again. He has not lost any of His power. We have lost power of God. I do. I believe that. Amen. Now, with that in mind, I want to preach from this text and really just use it as a springboard, but my thoughts on personal steps towards revival. What can we do to prepare ourselves that God might move? Not that we can force Him to move. We can make Him move. But I tell you what we can do. We can request Him to move and we can prepare ourselves ready. Amen. When Brother Philip, did you get the water again today? All right. When Brother Philip went to get water, he picked this cup. You know why he picked this cup? You might say it's just random. One reason is because it was clean and available. At least I hope it was clean. Amen. It was clean and available. And so he chose that cup to get water in that brings me refreshment. Praise God. Amen. Listen, I want God to bring refreshment to people around me, don't you? I want to be a cup that is clean and available if God see fit to put His water in it. Amen. If God see fit to pour reviving refreshment down in our soul. Amen. There's four things I want to notice about these three verses real quickly, and I'll not be long. My introduction's as long as my message. First of all, there needs to be an assessment. There needs to be an assessment. We see it in verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. It appears from that verse that Paul surveyed his life. That Paul looked back over his life and gave an assessment of his Christian life. He recognized that there was still room for improvement. That he hadn't reached the pinnacle yet. That it wasn't all over. He had not completed his race as of yet. Amen. There was still work to be done. I want to ask you and I to do the same. Let's evaluate our life. And if we would honestly evaluate our Christian life and see where we personally stand with God.
Right.
Amen. I'm not asking you to evaluate where somebody else stands. I'm asking us to look to our own feet. Shine the light on our own path and see where do we stand in relationship with God. Is there not room for improvement? Are we as close to God as we ever have been? Are we as close to God as we once were? Do we enjoy sweet fellowship with Jesus like we once did? I say, take an assessment. Be honest.
Amen.
Amen. Does Jesus have first place in our life? Or have we allowed something or some things to sort of push Him aside, crowd Him out, and take precedence in our life? Amen. Are you honestly excited about getting to come to church every night this week? Be honest. Take an assessment. Amen. Are we going to allow anything to get in our way of being in our place, being clean and available for God to fill and use for His glory? Again, I say, be honest. Take the assessment. Are we asking God to fill the house? Are we asking God to move in mighty power? Amen. Are we asking God to reveal His glory and get the glory for doing so? Amen. There needs to be an assessment. And that's the only one I say there needs to be. And really, if we're going to have revival, I'll say it's a must. But the other three I'm going to say are a must. Number two, there must be an acknowledgement. There must be an acknowledgement. He says in verse 12, the first part, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. It's a negative. First thing, look at verse 13, the first part. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He acknowledged where he stood. He did a survey, an assessment, and now he makes an acknowledgement. I asked some questions a minute ago. If I can say that any of those questions that I asked, if any of those the answer was no, I'm not as close as I have been. No, I'm not excited about being in the house of God every night this week. No, I'm not sure that I won't allow anything to get in the way of me being in my place, being available, being clean. Let me ask, whose fault is that? Amen. Whose fault is that? I know what Brother Bell would say, probably Miss Ruth would say. It's Steve's fault. I'm kidding. No, it's Steve's fault where Steve is, but it's your fault where you are, and it's my fault where I am. Amen. Matter of fact, if I say that as plain about, I might already say it about every one of you. Amen. Amen. But it's true. It's our fault. Whose fault is it if we're not as close to God? Amen. God's not moved. God's not changed. God's not withholding fellowship.
Right.
Amen. God has not forsaken us.
Amen.
If God has not forsaken us, then we must have drifted from Him. We must have forsaken Him. Amen. If I'm not as spiritually minded as I ought to be, whose fault is that? If my Bible reading has slipped or become a drudgery, if my prayer life has slipped, whose fault is that? Amen. If our church services are dull and dead, whose fault is that? Amen. If the joy of the Lord's not welling up in my heart, whose fault is that? Amen. Are we growing cold towards God? Or are we forgetting to witness to others? Again, I say make an honest assessment, and make an honest acknowledgement. Amen. Probably we'd have to say like the songwriter says, I've wandered far away from home. Lord, I'm coming home. Too long in sin I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. Amen. There needs to be an assessment. There must be an acknowledgement. Number three, there must be an aim.
Right.
Not just to say, well, I'm a mess, let's just give up. No, there must be an aim about that thing. Verse number 13. Well, let's read 12 and 13 again. Not as though I'd already attained, either were made perfect. All right, so there's the negative, but here's the positive. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus saved me for a purpose. I need to fulfill that purpose. Amen. He didn't just save me to keep me from going to hell so there'd be one less soul in hell. No, He saved me to have fellowship with me. Why did God come in the cool of the evening? Why did God call to Adam? Why did God slay a lamb and clothe it? Why did He do any of that? I'll tell you why. Because He wanted fellowship with man. Amen. There's an aim. Well, to aim for that fellowship to be restored. Verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. There's the positive again. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Amen. Again, not that we forget it, that it never happened, but that we don't let it hold us back. We don't live there anymore. But we take those stepping stones and move forward to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So if we make an assessment and we admit that there's room for spiritual improvement, we must acknowledge then we are in need of revival. I could preach to you today about how the other Baptist churches in town need revival. I could preach to you about how the Pentecostal churches need revival. Amen. About how the Methodists and the Lutherans and, of course, well, some of them just need to be saved. You can't revive if something's never been vibed. Amen. But I could preach about other denominations and other churches, but let's be honest. We need revival. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Acknowledging the truth, I believe, is always the first step in improvement. Acknowledging that there's a problem. Amen. But that's not all that's needed. Just acknowledging the problem is not good enough. We've got to have an aim. We've got to have a goal. Amen. What is that goal? Well, that goal is Jesus Christ. Amen. That goal is getting back to God. Amen. That goal is being enthused and enjoying fellowship with Him again. Amen. And so we've got to know where to turn for help. That's the aim. Amen. We know that the fault of the laxity and the laziness lies within ourselves. But our hope for improvement lies much higher. It's not just in self-help. It's in His help. Amen. It's in His help. I believe we've got to go to God, confessing our wrong, asking for forgiveness for our wrong, and seeking to be reinstated and placed in a place of fellowship with Him again. I believe that's what we've got to do. Amen. Admit that it's our fault. Admit that we're wrong. He's right. Tell Him we're sorry about that. Ask Him to forgive us for that. Cleanse us. And then walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen. Walk with Him. That's the aim, is to be in fellowship with Him again. Amen. I put it this way. Revival is not just feeling better about ourselves. Amen. Revival is about wiping the dust off of our altars and praying again. Amen. Revival is about asking God to give us our tears so we can weep over loved ones again. Amen. Revival is asking God to restore unto us the joy of His salvation. I believe that's revival. Amen. Revival is seeking God with your whole heart. Amen. What this church went through back in the 90s, great move of God, and I don't doubt it or belittle it in the least. Matter of fact, you wonder where would the church be today? Would it be today? Amen. If God hadn't done something great then. But there's probably as many or more here now that was not involved or barely can remember that as there are that were there when that took place. Amen. And it's not belittling it to say, God, do it again. But what happened in those days, you can't say that a man did that. Amen. I believe God used Brother Hall. I believe God used Brother Smith. Amen. But man could not have done that. What happened was some people got serious with God, got tired of the way things were. They wanted more from God, knowing that they could have more from God. Amen. And they did just what Elijah did at Brother Steve's teaching on Sunday school. They got to praying, seeking after God, not really knowing, because it wasn't all shouting. Some of you know there's some mighty, mighty bad puking going on. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about physical. Spiritually, amen. Right. Bringing up, getting right, confessing, coming clean, getting clean and available for God to pour in. Amen. I believe He can still do it. I really do believe He can still do it. And that ought to be our aim. Amen. Revival is not just hearing good preaching and congratulating the preacher. Revival is seeking after God. There's got to be an aim. There needs to be an assessment. There must be an acknowledgement. There must be an aim. And number four, last of all, there must be an action. Ms. Hall sang the song right. Not just being stirred, but being changed. Verse number 14, here's the action. Me, personally, have a job to do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, personally, could not manufacture that mark or make it to that mark. God put the mark out there and God had to help Paul. But Paul said, here's what I'm doing. I'm making up my mind. I'm agreeing with God. I'm looking at the aim. I'm looking at the goal. I'm not taking my eyes off of it, and I'm never going to be satisfied with less. Amen. I'm not going to be satisfied with less than God moving in my life. Amen. If you will agree with me that there is a deficiency in our spiritual life, but then that acknowledgement doesn't drive us to do something about it, if it doesn't drive us to an altar of prayer, and I'm not just talking about this altar of prayer.
Right.
Amen. I'm talking about an altar of prayer. Maybe behind your house. Maybe in your house. Wherever it be. Maybe it is in front of the church. If knowing it doesn't drive us to God, then we've not really agreed with God. Amen. I think I can just keep on going. Amen. Brother Rudd, Brother Bill Rudd, he's Brother Kuhn's son-in-law, went to pick up a preacher. One of the preachers that preached flew in from Tampa, Florida. That's where he pastors. Brother Rudd knew him when he was in Florida. Went to pick him up at the airport, took him to the motel. They said the street by the motel they were staying in is full of potholes. Nobody will fix it. The city says it's not their job. The county says it's not their job. The business says we're not going to do it. Sounds familiar. But they've got all those potholes. He's driving. It's raining, torrential rainfall. He can't see where he's going. And in those potholes, a brand new tire got busted. And the road was so bumpy that they didn't even know it. They're driving on a busted tire. And as they were driving along, somebody somehow let them know, you got a flat tire. You know what he could have done? He could have kept right on going. But he didn't. He pulled over. And he made an adjustment. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, running on flats, you can keep running that way if you want to. It'll be hard, it'll be bumpy, and it's going to cause damage that may be irreparable down the road. Amen. Or you can take acknowledgement. Lord, you're right. My assessment is I've got a flat. My assessment is I need some help. My assessment is I need to pull over and ask for some help from God. Amen. If faith without works is dead, as James said twice in chapter number 2 of the book of James, and it is dead, then assessment and acknowledgement without an aim and an action is dead. I believe that's right. Just hearing and not doing anything about it doesn't help us. Amen. I'll ask some more questions and then conclude. Will you get along with God and ask Him to strengthen you with might in the inner man so that you can have sweet communion and fellowship with God in the Holy Ghost? Will you ask Him that? Will you get alone and talk to Him? Will you seek to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us? Will you run with patience the race that is set before us? Amen. Will you crawl in your secret place and cry out to God for forgiveness, repenting of your lukewarm status that makes God sick, and ask Him to set you on fire again? Ask Him to rake in your coals, to blow on your coals, and ignite the fire again down in your soul. Will you ask Him that? Will you make yourself clean and available for God to use? Let's stand to our feet. Perhaps you'd like to come pray as they come with a song. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Not been a shouting message. Could be. When we think about Your mighty arm, Your stretched out hand, I'm reminded what You said also in the book of Isaiah. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But Lord, You made the assessment, You said, but Your sins have separated You from Your God. You said, Lord, the blame was on us. Lord, I don't just want to make people feel bad. I want us to take an action. I want us to make an assessment, make an acknowledgement, see the aim, and head towards that aim for the glory of God. Father, we've got loved ones. Some of them on their way to hell. We've got loved ones. Some of them perhaps are saved, but they're not living to their potential. They're not living like they ought to be living. And Lord, we're just going right along like nothing. Lord, you want to have fellowship. And yet we're hiding in the weeds. We're hiding in the trees and the bushes rather than coming out to God and saying, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Clothe me. And allow me to have communion with Thee again. Lord, I pray, move in this invitation. You get the glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.